Good morning.
My presentation is entitled Psychosocial Health of Out-of-School Youth in Post-Conflict Liberia. First, I'd like to share that there are no personal financial relationships with commercial interests to disclose. This assessment was done as part of the Advancing Youth Program, where they wanted to learn how they could integrate psychosocial support within all aspects of the project. The AYP program is a five-year USAID-funded literacy project where they hope that they can provide out-of-school youth with primary school education within 3 years. There's also a livelihoods component that includes vocational skills training, income generation activities, and a savings club. It's being implemented in Monrovia City, Bong, Nimba, and Lofa counties through a partnership between the Education Development Center and Mercy Corps. So I was working for Mercy Corps at the time, and the objectives of the assessment in my capacity was threefold. First, to better understand the psychosocial health of Liberian out-of-school youth, to understand the characteristics and factors of resilient versus non-resilient youth, and lastly, to provide recommendations for how we can integrate psychosocial support into the AYP project. So key research questions I wanted to look at were chronic and extreme stressors and how they affected out-of-school youth lives, what factors, processes, and pathways create maladaptive versus resilient outcomes. Thirdly, what supports exist for out-of-school youth, if at all? And lastly, what should AYB do to address psychosocial needs of out-of-school youth? So I conducted a review of the literature and found that after the 14-year-long conflict, youth remain marginalized and disengaged from Liberian society, which creates great instability and a threat of war returning to the region. There are very limited studies on actually the mental health of Liberian youth. All we could find were adult studies. And so one study, the reported number of traumatic events experienced during the 14-year-long conflict were 17.5 events occurring, with the majority of the sample being raped and had witnessed a family member or friend murdered. In addition, another study reported that 40% of adults had met symptoms for major depressive disorder, as well as post-traumatic stress disorder, and 8% for social dysfunction. So the conceptual framework that guided the assessment was Bronfenbrenner's socio-ecological model. I wanted to understand how the psychology was affected by the different systems that include culture, society, political systems, as well as how that the interplay between the nested systems. As for methods, it was all qualitative. I conducted 9 key informant interviews, including international NGOs such as the IRC, the Carter Center, as well as community-based organizations and government agencies such as the Ministry of Youth and Sports, the Ministry of Gender, and the Ministry of Health. I also conducted 13 focus group discussions with 39 youth, as well as 8 in-depth interviews. Tools were translated into Liberian English and piloted among program staff, who were then trained in qualitative data research methods. All interviews were recorded and transcribed with daily debriefs with the interview team to inform what sort of emerging patterns were occurring and to create a coding system. We also conducted direct observation of youth in the community. Lastly, we had preliminary findings were shared with stakeholders and project staff for validation at a project design workshop. So one of the key findings was just the definition of youth. It reaffirmed the current literature that it is a politically charged term in which the government has extended the age to 35 years in order to remove the voice of a large segment of the population. Also, it has community implications because youth are not involved in community meetings and community development decisions. But the youth themselves thought of young people as those with physical strength who are not experienced in many things but are still capable to do something. However, it caused great role confusion between youth and adulthood because the time between childhood and adulthood has been abbreviated. The youth interviewed shared that to them, an adult was someone who was 18 years of age, had a child, or married, or have a partner. But by social cultural norms, youth is anyone who is under 35. And so therefore, even though they may have a child, be married, have a partner, they still lack rights and pathways for advocacy, and there's no national policy for youth currently. Also, youth reported that they lack social reference and positive mentorship. Most cannot recall how they learned about family and cultural values. So So for instance, one female from Lofa County shared, "Because I was alone in Guinea, I was very careful to not get into a problem. It's hard to say who taught me because my parents died when I was a child, and I came up on my own. The only thing that helped was that since I knew I had nobody, I stay away from trouble and try doing things so people can respect me." And so that shows that lack of role clarity, and so it created a great stress on their expectations and ambiguity towards their own role as a youth, even though they're performing adult current roles. I also looked at chronic stressors, and we can see these are the key ones that are affecting out-of-school youth. Mostly it's the deprivation of resources, the ability to meet basic needs that are causing great mental and psychosocial health concerns. So for instance, many fear that war will return, that they are not able to meet basic needs due to poverty. They're fearful of ritualistic killing and lack of community cohesion, and that the fact that they can't get married due to lack of property. The most vulnerable group that was identified through the assessment were adolescent girls and young women. Of those interviewed, one out of eight females had shared that they had known someone who had experienced forced sex before the age of 15. They struggle continuously to provide for themselves due to abandonment from male partners who are also migrating to find work. And lastly, the breakdown of traditional structures and practices, as well as the lack of deference for traditional community leaders, contributes to the continuing cycle of violence towards both men and women. As for resilient versus non-resilient youth, through the interviews, resilient youth were characterized as those who were getting an education, had their own business, were productive with their lives, were contributing advice and resources to their family and community, whereas non-resilient youth were those who didn't have children, who looked sickly, were preoccupied with money, involved in crime and sex work, violence, not going to school, and using drugs. The factors that fostered resilience primarily were those with financial support, primarily from parents, but also many individual level characteristics, such as maturity, determination, drive for achievement, and strong work ethic. Also, they reported that the ability to adapt faster was very important, and being able to understand the necessity to integrate into a money-based economy. Processes that they attributed to resilience were being productive and trying to be self-sufficient. However, there are large gaps in the current psychosocial services available to out-of-school youth. Currently, there's no national policy promoting psychosocial support whatsoever. Currently, they are trying to integrate mental health into the primary health care, but only in schools. And so out-of-school youth continue to remain outside the purview of national policy. There's also a limited number of psychosocial support service providers. Most programs have already ended. They were only for half a year to a year in length. And there are only 8 service providers, period, for mental health within all of Liberia. And 4 of them, half of them, are located in Monrovia. So key recommendations I had for the program based on the socio-ecological model were at the individual level, the importance of equipping youth with knowledge and skills to improve economic livelihoods to immediately address the basic needs concerns, and then to strengthen youth's coping skills and social supports, as well as to revitalize Liberian culture to help out-of-schools feel integrated and coherent with their own society. And at the microsystem level, to increase out-of-school youth social capacity by increasing their ties to in-school youth, as well as to institutions like the YMCA, to connect AYP youth with a mentor in their community, to improve interpersonal communication between peers and their partners about nonviolent methods for conflict resolution, since much of the violence was reported to be domestic violence, and to strengthen bonds between AYP youth and their teachers. And lastly, at the microsystem level, to reconnect youth with community social structures and value systems, and to strengthen the Palava Hut, or the Peace Hut, for community dialogue, and lastly, to transform negative social perceptions, norms, and attitude towards youth who are still looked at as combatants. There were several limitations to this assessment. First, the data only used qualitative research methods. There was a limited sample size. There may have been bias in the recruitment process. Respondents may have misreported due to fear of stigmatization or concerns about privacy and confidentiality. And lastly, there may have been interviewer bias. But to our knowledge, it is the first study to look at the psychosocial health of out-of-school youth in Liberia for programmatic purposes.
Congratulations.